Hello, and welcome to Pop Abroad. I'm Michelle Ibarra, your host, a California girl currently living in Abu Dhabi, the capital of the United Arab Emirates. On this show, I will chat with people who have made the move to the UAE. The UAE is a beautiful country in the Middle East, comprised of seven emirates. In this amazing little country of 10 million people, nearly 90% are immigrants. Yes, 90%. We will explore together how and why so many people call this place home now. We also want to hear from you. You can find me at Pop Abroad on Instagram or Abu Dhabi Michelle on TikTok. Let's get poppin'. Tom Streppel, originally from Apeldoorn in the Netherlands, Tom has lived abroad since 2013 in Spain, China, Malaysia, and now lives in Dubai. Tom works as a Dutch language teacher. Welcome to Pop Abroad, Tom. Thank you so much for joining the show. Tell us, Tom, how did you pop abroad? Why and how and what inspired you to make the move to live in other countries?
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me here, Michelle, today. Very excited to share my story and to tell you why I moved abroad. So I grew up in the Netherlands in a smaller city called Apeldoorn. And I remember very well when I traveled for the first time abroad, which was with my uncle when I was 7 years old. And I was in London, and I was so amazed with how big the city was and how many people were there and all these different cultures. And that moment was when I realized I love to explore the world and I love to travel. Fast forward to me being a student. So I studied to become a primary school teacher in the Netherlands. While I was studying, there was an opportunity to follow an internship on a special school, which could be Montessori or it could be special need kids. And another option was to go for an internship abroad. I found an internship in Madrid in Spain on a Dutch school there. And I was 19 years old and I've lived in Madrid for 3 months and I loved it. And it was so special to explore the world by living there and to see a culture both from the outside, because you're not a citizen of that country, but by living there, you also feel like you're an insider and you get to experience so much more of a culture than when you're traveling.
I completely agree with you. I think that living somewhere is a completely different experience to traveling. When you're traveling, you're only there temporarily and you're kind of seeing the sights. You're just kind of like enjoying the day to day, like if you're there for a week. But when you live somewhere, and you have to experience the healthcare and grocery shopping and banking. And like, that's when you really get into the culture because you're there for a longer period of time. I think it's a completely different experience to, you know, temporary travel.
Yeah, exactly. That made it so special. And I mean, I love traveling, what I live for. I love exploring the world, but living in the culture is definitely a deeper experience. And how I ended up in China was actually very funny. So I traveled around China together with my brother in 2012, which was our first trip outside of Europe. And I was amazed with how different world in like life in China is. Then I remember looking for a job after I graduated from university. And I saw a job posting for a Dutch teacher in China, in Shanghai. And I was like sitting there in front of my computer and like I was like, amazing. Like, I didn't know that that exists and that would be amazing. And I felt it was my job. I really felt it resonated with me. And I remember reading about the job. And I was like, ooh, they have some high expectations. Not sure if I meet all the criteria, but anyway, let me apply and let's see how it goes. And while I was in the interview process, I just felt, yeah, this is for me. This is something that I would love to do. It's something that would fit me.
Job. Yeah. And you got the job.
Yeah. And I was 21 and I was moving to China.
Oh my goodness.
Looking back, it's insane. You're so young, but also when you're at that age, I think it's easier to move because you're just open for anything and open for the world.
Absolutely. And yes. I did the same, jumped in my 20s and haven't looked back since. And I started my first working job abroad was in Seoul in South Korea. And I was the only foreigner in my neighborhood, in an entire neighborhood. So it was a very interesting experience because, you know, you had to learn the language, the customs. I remember going into work and we had to stand out. I was a kindergarten teacher and I had to stand outside and greet every single parent and bow to every single parent and every single student. And even this like very common custom in Korea. You know, it was so different for me growing up in the States. So that was one of those, I was like, this is cool. This is so different. And, you know, you don't get that when you're traveling, but when you live there, like you kind of really like dive into the culture so much more.
Yeah, exactly. And especially when you're describing all those small things about a culture that you don't see when you're traveling, you experience it by living there.
Exactly. So, okay. So you moved abroad to China, which is, Tom and I lived in Shanghai at the same time, which is very funny. I think we met via friends, and we were definitely at some of the same events. But it's funny because now that we're both in UAE, that's when we're like connecting more so. But it's funny because honestly, like Shanghai was a great place to live. Like it was such a cool experience. So I definitely recommend China somewhere to move and somewhere to live abroad. If like you're considering Asia, Shanghai is one of the coolest cities in the world.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much to do in Shanghai. I feel it's one of the most diverse cities in Asia.
Oh, absolutely. So for you to find your job in Shanghai teaching Dutch, is there a website, like a government website or a big website that like kind of shows you all the Dutch teaching jobs in different countries, or what's that? Is there a website like that?
Yeah, there actually is. There is an organization called Stichting NOB, where
I'll put that in the show notes because I don't know how to spell that. So I'll get that later from you.
So Stichting NOB is an organization that organizes all the Dutch education abroad. So all the Dutch schools around the globe are linked with them, whether it's a day school where the kids have full Dutch education, or if it's a language school, which is the majority of the schools. And they always list the jobs there as well. And yeah, I just remember checking the website and then seeing the job in Shanghai. Yeah, I just felt it resonates with me. And as I just recently traveled there,
it all happens for a reason, right? Like it was just when you visited China, then you just happened to see this job on the website available and you applied.
Yeah, it felt like it was meant to be.
Exactly. When I started teaching in Korea, I didn't have any full-time teaching experience. So it was my first like proper full-time teaching experience in my life was teaching in English in Korea, which was so it was kind of similar for you. Fresh out of school, 21, and like, I want to live abroad and teach. And I love that you can teach in different countries. Like you could be a French teacher, a Spanish teacher, a Dutch teacher, a German teacher. Like these jobs are available all over the world.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the difference from what I do is that I'm a mother tongue teacher. So I teach Dutch language as a mother tongue for the Dutch kids that live abroad. So when I was living in China, I was teaching the Dutch kids that were living there. So I wasn't teaching Chinese kids, but I was working in an international school where they offered Dutch language.
Very cool. In regards to contracts, is it like a 1 year, 2 year? How does it work with, like, did they provide a flight or how did it work for contracts?
So regarding Dutch teaching jobs abroad, I think it really differs from every school. So sometimes there are actually part-time positions that these are mainly smaller schools. I've been working for a bigger organization. They offer full-time jobs and they also offer like benefits such as like a livable salary, flight back home. And I've actually been working for the same organization since I moved to Shanghai. And yeah, I loved it. I love the fact that my company has multiple schools around the globe, that this way I can explore the world.
Yeah. And the fact that they help you move there, they pay for your flight, they help you get a visa. That's one of the hard parts about living abroad or moving abroad is like, you want to make sure that you have a full-time job, you have a visa, you can get over there and things like that. Because those are all extra expenses that, you know, can add up if you don't talk to your company, your recruiter, or the school about it. That's very cool.
It is important that you talk about that with your employer. And especially the visa process is something that is a bit stressful. So every time you're moving to a new place, you don't know how it's going to be. And there's always, you know, an estimate like when everything is ready. But sometimes it does take a little bit longer. And that's something that you have to be prepared to, that when you move abroad, things don't always go according to plan. And you have to be flexible with that.
Yeah, because sometimes it takes a couple months to get a visa, while other times it's really fast. So it really just depends on the country.
Yeah, it does.
And so do you get paid in euros or are you getting paid? Do you normally get paid in the local currency of the country?
I actually can request how I want my salary to be paid out. So right now I have a mix, a certain amount I get in euros and a certain amount I get in dirhams, which helps me to, you know, cover the costs that I have in the Netherlands, but also I have my dirhams here, which is a good way, I think, to organize your finances.
Yeah, I think that would be great if I could get paid in half dollars and half dirhams. I would be okay with that. Or even euros, because then you need dirhams like for your day-to-day, like your groceries, you know, to pay your bills, like, you know, your electricity, things like that. But then being able to have money in dollars or euros, you can save it in your home country.
Exactly. And especially in some countries such as China, it was pretty difficult to send money back home. So it was really helpful to have the opportunity to have a certain amount of your income in your home country as well.
Oh yeah, it was so tough to get money out of China. I remember having to go to the bank every month and bring my foreign export card, my visa, my contract, my tax slips, my pay stubs. Like basically you have to have an entire booklet of financial records, of paperwork and paper trails to get $500 US dollars out of the country. And I would spend 2 or 3 hours every month of my life in banking. Yeah. I can't even PTSD, post-traumatic stress from that, because it was so much work.
I understand. Yeah, I've been there as well. Like whenever I went to the bank and I had to send money back home, it took so long. And I remember that when it was finally your turn, there was always a change in the process and you needed an extra form or you needed like a copy of a certain paper. And it was just so frustrating. But in the end, it always got sorted out.
It just took hours. That just took hours out of my life every month. We can say this because we lived in China and we lived in Shanghai. We both lived in Shanghai and it was a very fun experience, but there were definitely pros and cons. And there is to every country. I think there's always pros and cons to everywhere you live. So that's just kind of how it is when you move to a new country and you're living in a new system. But So on the topic of finances, you just purchased an apartment in Dubai. So firstly, congratulations. Amazing. And two, tell us, how did you do that? Because purchasing property abroad is a whole different area that is pretty new for the common expat.
Yeah, so it was totally new for me as well. I'm very happy that I've made a decision to buy an apartment. I've lived abroad for about 10 years now, and I've noticed that I wanted some financial security, but I also wanted to have a place that I really can call home. You know, I've been renting furnished apartments for years before I moved to Dubai. I just wanted a place that was really, really homey for me. When I got the opportunity to move to Dubai, I started thinking, hey, could this be a place possibly buy a property? So I looked into the information on the internet. Would it be possible? And then I found out that, yeah, if you work in the UAE, it's pretty easy to get a mortgage for a property. So you need about 20 to 25% of the property value for a down payment, which is quite a lot of money, by the way. That's as a security for the bank. And the rest of the home value you can get through a mortgage. So I've looked into that. I did it together with a mortgage broker, and he looked into my financial situation. He needed like some salary slips. He needed like quite a lot of personal information. So they do background checks. They checked with my employer. And with that, I got 3 offers from banks regarding a mortgage. Then I could start my journey of finding a house.
Fun, which is the fun part, but also the exhausting part.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the most fun. Like the financial is not fun. Like it's something you need to get sorted. And I would advise to sort that out first. So it saves you so much stress during the rest of the process. And then you can start the fun part, which is house hunting. So Michelle, I've heard that you are also considering buying a house.
Yes. I think the same. I think as soon as I moved to Abu Dhabi, I was like, the fact that they even finance foreigners here and they would give you a loan. I was already so surprised coming from China because they didn't give foreigners loans in China to buy property. So I came here and it was to finance, I bought a car. And then when I went to the bank, they're like, oh, do you also want a home loan? And I was like, what? You know, I was so surprised because I was like, you give home loans or financial for foreigners? So from that moment on, I was like, okay, of course, like you said, you need to have the down payment. So it's pretty traditional in that sense. You still need to have a down payment and you still have to have all your ducks in a row. You have to have all of your paperwork ready. And there has to be a lot of transparency with your background, your employer. And like you said, they're going to look into all of those things. So you need to make sure that everything is organized and ready, because then once that's ready, then the banks will give you the opportunity to give you the loan. So you've got three banks. You had to choose from three banks for your loan, you said.
Yeah, and then I chose the bank that my brokers at would be the fastest in issuing the loan, because in the financial sector, sometimes things take some time. Yeah, then I started looking for properties. I actually issued over 40 apartments before I found the right one, because yeah, it's going to be your home for a longer period. So you want something that really ticks all the boxes and that you just love. And for me, number one was just that I could see myself living there, that I love the layout of the apartment, that I love the kitchen, that I love the size. These are very important factors for me. But also I kept in mind how the traffic was. Like, would it be okay, like, with getting to work, or is there going to be traffic jams? I remember viewing a property in Marina, and it was gorgeous, but every morning and every evening, you would stand in traffic for at least 30 minutes. Is that something that you want like every day of your life?
So that is a big factor. I can see that being a huge factor. Traffic, because Dubai has so much traffic. So especially if you're working and you have to go into the office every day or go into work, you want traffic, like you want your apartment or your home to be close to where you're working.
Yeah, exactly. And so I found an apartment in Jumeirah Lake Towers, which is across Marina, and traffic is so much better there.
Nice. Good shout. So did the loan they give you, was it a 25-year loan or 30-year loan?
So you can actually decide that yourself. So I take a look at my finances and I decide which amount I wanted to pay monthly. Then they could tell me which period would fit that. But you can choose up to a 25-year loan.
Okay. And it's because I see it right now, and this is spring 2023, that it was, I think it's like 3.99% is the interest rate, is the standard interest rate. Was it the same when you purchased?
Yeah, so I was actually a bit luckier. So I had an interest rate of about 2.75%, and I fixed it for 2 years. So there's always you can go for like a flexible interest rate, which at the moment is like, at that moment is always the lowest one, or you can fix it for 1, 2, or 3 years. 3 years is the maximum, and I chose to go in the middle with 2 years.
Interesting. Financial system in the UAE is still developing, so they're still kind of changing this. I realize they're changing things as they go along, because like even with credit, like credit scores, which have been in the US since the 1980s, where the credit score in the UAE, it just came out a few years ago. Yeah. So it's definitely, I can see. And like you said, I have three banks in the UAE, one for my auto loan, one for my salary, and then another one for credit cards and another savings account. And each bank has different systems. One bank is really fast. One bank has great customer service. Like, they're all different and good for certain things. So definitely I would say, like, whenever you're doing anything in the UAE, definitely shop around with the banks, talk to people that live in UAE, because honestly, each bank has its own pros and cons too. Especially for me, I compare it to the US banks. So American Express and Chase and things like that. And I try not to compare it, but I do. So I'm sure, like, especially if you're an American and you're coming from the US, like when you come to the UAE, you're going to want to really talk to people and compare the banks here, because they're different in a lot of ways.
So me coming from the Netherlands, I'm used to having all my money within one bank. It's just, that's the most common way in the Netherlands. So I'm quite interested, why did you choose to have different banks for your finances here?
So for my auto loan, for my car loan, it was because it was the lowest interest rate. Like, of all the banks that I spoke to for my auto loan, given, because the same, it was, you have to have your salary certificate and you have to have an employer check and a background check also for auto loans. And I wanted to make sure that I got the loan with the lowest interest rate so that I wouldn't be paying back as much. That was the big thing. And then another one, because I'm like credit cards and I'm a travel hacker and I like to use points and miles to pay for travel and things like that. They don't have as much of that in the UAE, but one bank had a really good offer for a travel credit card. So I got that. And that bank, everything was on the app. Like I signed up for everything on the app, where the other bank in the UAE, I had to go into the bank and sign out. I don't know for you, Tom, but like had to fill out like 50 papers, you know? So some banks are more efficient and compared to others. So definitely do your due diligence, do your research and talk to people on the ground. I think I'm used to it as an American, like that each bank has its pros and cons in the US. So the same with the UAE.
Yeah, that's why you choose to shop a little around.
Yeah, shop around. Always. I think China taught me that too, because in China, like they love to negotiate. And I also like became such a big fan of negotiation after living in China.
Oh yeah, they love that. Especially like I remember going to like those markets and you have to haggle for everything.
Exactly. So funny. Okay. So you had your down payment, you got your banking, you did your research, 40 apartments, which is crazy. And then what happened? What are some other things that you had to go through like at the end of the process with the banking? Like, were there any like property taxes or municipality service charges? What other hurdles or obstacles did you come across before, you know, finalizing the purchase?
Finalizing the purchase was quite a process, mainly because the previous owner did not live in the UAE. So he had to come here for the handover. They delayed that a couple of times. In the end, there were some hiccups here and there. What's good to know is that there are a few fees involved. So you have a commission to your agent. So on the day of the transfer of your property, you go to the Dubai Land Department or to a trustee office where the transfer the property into your name. And on that day, you also give a commission to your real estate agent, which is usually about 2%. And next to that, you pay a fee to the government of Dubai or Dubai Land Department for the transfer of your property. And after that, it's all yours. And I actually want to warn you guys about one thing that I did not look into myself. So in Dubai and in the UAE in general, I think it also is about Abu Dhabi, there are service charges with your property. And in my case, a previous landlord didn't pay them for about 3 years, which usually should not be the case, but it happened. After the transfer, the company that handles the service charges tried to put those charges on me, and we're actually still sorting it out. So make sure that the previous owner cleared his service charges. I found out how you can do it. It's by contacting the Dubai Land Department or the service charge company to give you a clearance letter or statement of account, and that way you can check if your property is free of unpaid service charges.
Okay. So absolutely need to check that. What was the name of it again?
I think you can check it through the Dubai Land Department. And I would mainly ask it at the service provider.
Okay. Yeah, because of course you're a real estate agent or, you know, mortgage lender is unaware of these things, right? Like they're not going to tell you all about all these like hidden charges, you know? So I'm really glad you brought it up, Tom. Thank you so much. Because honestly, these are the things that when I'm reading online or I'm looking at apps, you know, that have homes or apartments for sale, they don't have all this information. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not as clear.
Yeah, it's not as clear. And I mean, I didn't know about this either. Like you hear this or you find it out because it becomes an issue. Nobody told me that I should check this. And I actually asked about it and then they told me everything is sorted. And I got a letter with that all the payments to the developer were cleared, and clearly they were not. So you would assume everything is sorted. And I had an agent, he was guiding me, and he didn't see the red flags either. It was an issue that was just coming up. And could I have checked it? Yeah. Did I know how to do it? No. So
yeah, of course. I mean, it's your first apartment in Dubai. Of course, like when you're new to a country, you're still learning about all of these and the real estate laws and real estate fees and everything. They change from country to country. So of course, it's a learning experience.
It is. And even now, like, I know it's part of it. And I still think I'm very happy that I made the decision to buy a place. And it just feels great waking up every day in an apartment that feels like it fits you, that feels that, you know, it's yours. And yeah, it was a big step in my life. And I'm so happy I jumped into it. And at that moment, I just lived in Dubai for a couple of months. But despite living here for a short term, I felt like, yeah, why not? Why shouldn't I just jump into it?
I love it. I'm happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tom, thank you so much for sharing your experience of purchasing an apartment. I am very excited to start and get on the same path as you. You've inspired me. So let's move on to communities and talking about how you made friends and felt comfortable making the move to Dubai, living in Dubai, because one of the hardest parts of living abroad is, you know, finding a group of friends to count on. So how did you find it?
Yeah, like moving abroad and starting up an entire new life is something that you have to work on yourself. And by creating your social circle, you have to put effort and get out there, meet people, and that way slowly build up your new life. And actually, I think the transition from Malaysia to Dubai was pretty easy in terms of social life. So Dubai has a very large expat scene. I think this is the expat city in the world. Like, there's so many expats here and so many new people arriving all the time. And that makes it pretty easy to get your social life going. So I've been living abroad for 10 years now. And when I moved to Dubai, I've asked around to some of my friends, hey, do you know anyone in Dubai? Because I'm going to move there. And yeah, I loved it when my friends put me in touch with friends that already live here. Like, we have mutual friends, and that way it really helped to start up my life here. And so I met up with a friend called Zoe. Like, my friend Nicole introduced her to me. She said, like, she actually lived in Shanghai as well, and I'm sure you guys get along. And she was right. Like, we connected instantly. You have so much in common by living in the same place before. It really helps to connect.
Agreed. I think that's so smart how you posted, like, you on social media, you're like, hey, I'm moving here. If anybody knows anybody there, connect me. That's such a smart way, because the same thing happened to me. One of my first friends here, my friend introduced me to her. So it was one of those things where, like, you know, announce it. This is why social media is so powerful. Announce it. Announce that you're moving somewhere or living somewhere, and for people to connect you with, because people that know you can help you make new friends. So don't be afraid to do that kind of stuff. I always tell people, like, don't be embarrassed to post on social media.
Yeah, it's a great way how to connect with each other here. And next to that, also joined InterNations. So InterNations is a website that hosts different events. So there would be, like, dinners, there would be networking events. And actually, I went to something called Speed Friending when I arrived. It was there in the first weekend when I got here. And it worked the same as speed dating. Mm-hmm. So you would just go with random people for about 5 minutes to see if you connect. And I met a really nice girl that's vegan, and I'm a vegetarian myself. And then she introduced me to, like, a vegan dinner group, which was
a vegan community. That's what I always tell people. Yeah. Like, if you like crocheting, there's a crochet community. If you're a vegetarian, there's 100% a vegetarian community.
Exactly. So yeah, just look around what's there. And there are so many different groups. There's also this website called meetup.com. Where you can connect with people with the same interest. For example, like, I like playing board games every now and then. So I've noticed that in my area, there is a board game meetup every Tuesday. And it's people playing board games together. And it's so much fun to go there every now and then. And
yeah,
around
places. And then it's in your neighborhood. You don't even need to go that far. Do you know what I mean? Because I find like sometimes if you have to commute, it's one thing. But if you can walk there or, you know, take a short metro or taxi ride there, that makes it even more convenient.
Yeah, exactly.
No excuses.
No excuses. Yeah. And yeah, it's nice to have things to do in your own neighborhood, definitely. And that's also something that I considered when moving to JLT, to Mirror Lake Towers. I just felt I like this area a lot. There's a lot of restaurants, there's bars, there's yoga studios. And the area where you live is so important for your day-to-day life.
Absolutely. Basically, Dubai has a neighborhood for everybody. If you prefer to live a quieter life or you have a family, they have a lot of areas, compounds with villas and things like that, close to the international schools. So whatever it is whatever you like, there's definitely a neighborhood that represents that. Like if you are really into wakeboarding and jet skiing, you know, and you want to live closer to the beach, there's so many beach neighborhoods in Dubai as well, and Abu Dhabi. So definitely.
And oh my, Michelle, like, how do you like living near the beach? Like living in a big city like Shanghai with no access to nature at all, to like living in the UAE where you can drive to the beach in like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge difference, right?
It's crazy. It is. The UAE, the thing I love about it the most is like, it's always warm. And because I'm from Southern California, like I need the heat. And I remember the very first time I lived in Seoul and I was there for my first winter and I only had like a little leather jacket, you know, California girl in a leather jacket and like some Converse and it's like -20, -15 in the winter. And I didn't realize that, you know, you walk outside one block and your eyelashes have icicles on them. And I was like, this is not for me. I don't know. I didn't realize like how cold places could get. I was completely blindsided by it. And I remember thinking, okay, I need to buy like snowshoes and a down jacket. Like there's all these things that you don't factor in until you live somewhere like, oh, it gets really cold here. Or, oh, you know, and even in Abu Dhabi and UAE, like women dress modestly to an extent, more modest than what I'm used to in California too, you know? So I think in Dubai, it's a little bit different, but in Abu Dhabi, like there is that more sense of modesty in the way women dress. Like, you know, you don't show your shoulders as much, or you don't show knees as much, things like that. Like it's very subtle, but it is prevalent here. So I find Dubai, like people wear whatever they want, especially like the closer to the beaches you are. But like in a day-to-day in Abu Dhabi, like you don't really see shoulders very often.
Yeah, Dubai, I think it really differs from area to area, but definitely mm-hmm. like the beach area, like JBR, is more focused on tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
exactly.
How they like.
Yeah, they wear whatever they want. So absolutely. So it is interesting to see even the differences between neighborhoods in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, and then just Abu Dhabi Emirate compared to Dubai Emirate as well. It's always like interesting for me to go between the two and kind of, but I honestly, like, I love UAE. I love the weather, especially coming from countries that have four seasons. As much as I like, I don't mind wearing a coat in the winter. Like I do not miss minus degrees, like -5, -10. Like I don't think I could ever live in that again.
Yeah, I get it. Like some people, they miss the rain, but I'm not one of those. Like I love that I never have to take my umbrella with me, because living in the Netherlands, you always have to.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Netherlands, we cycle a lot. And I remember how many times I had to like cycle somewhere in the rain, mm-hmm. arriving completely drenched.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have that here.
Exactly.
And I expected that I would be drenched in sweat here. But actually, that's not much of a big of an issue. So I lived in Malaysia before, and in Malaysia it's extremely humid.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a 5-minute walk and like you're sweaty everywhere.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my, like it's pretty intense here in terms of weather and like the amount of sweat. Like, isn't that going to be even more in Dubai? But actually it's not. Like I've noticed there, it's just less humid here,
Yes.
That's the weather so much more pleasant, except for the summer, of course.
But, yes, and this is why it's great to be a teacher because we have the summers off. This is why I love being a teacher.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have those summers off. Have you planned anything for your summer trip already?
So I'm going to go to California for a part of my summer, and I'm going to go to Europe for the other part of my summer. So a little bit of both, a little mix of Europe and a little California and a little Europe. So I'm very ready for summer vacation. As teachers, we deserve the holidays, okay? We definitely deserve. We work hard, and teaching and managing a classroom of 20, 25 students is a lot of work, and it is tiring. So absolutely, we deserve our summers off. I'm so looking forward to it. Tom, thank you so much for joining the show for Pop Abroad. And you know where you can find me, Pop Abroad on Instagram and Abu Dhabi Michelle on TikTok. So if you want to ask any questions or follow up, absolutely, because, you know, Tom is a wealth of information, and you told us so much today. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. It was wonderful to discuss all of this together. And
make the move to Dubai, because it's such a cool city.
Yes, guys, make a move to Dubai. It's definitely a great place to live.
Yes, so cool. Thank you.